And I want to dedicate learning today for two things. One, obviously, for the situation in Israel. But in addition, I saw her here before. There she is. I want to dedicate learning also in memory of Miriam Bat Eliyahu and Sarah Bat Eliyahu, sisters of Ruth Gross, who comes to our shiur, who passed away recently. So we'll learn Le'ilui Nishmatam in memory of them as well. Everyone has the source sheets? Okay. So we are in Perek Chaf still, chapter 20, and we've been dealing with opening questions. And the major question was, why is David still in Shaul's palace? And we read through the first part of the chapter, in which it really looks like David is part of palace life, even though he fled from Nayot in Ramah. Nonetheless, he's expected at Shaul's table on the Rosh Chodesh, and Radak says that he was actually brought back to the palace, that Yonatan brought David back to the palace. And further, David seems to be very patient for somebody who's under a death threat. In chapter 19, Shaul tried to kill him multiple times, and yet he's there in the area complaining to Yonatan and so on. So we tried to figure out what's going on. I noted that from the secular perspective, the answer is, well, these are just different stories, and they just got jammed together, which I don't find to be a particularly satisfying approach, both intellectually and certainly from a religious perspective. So we gave our first approach last time from Rabbi Samet, and that was an approach which I thought was really interesting but hard to sustain. He suggested that when Shaul went to Shmuel, he actually did tshuva. He actually repented. He accepted Shmuel as his Rebbe. He practiced nivuah, he practiced prophecy there with Shmuel. And therefore, when David left, David was at peace. He was like, oh, okay, Shaul did tshuva, Shaul repented, now we're good. And we noted that there were problems with that read. First of all, it said vayivrach, which really means David ran away. It does not mean he ran toward. Number two, the opening sentence becomes very strange, because it says, the opening sentence in chapter 20, that he fled from Nayot in Ramah, and then he complained to Yehonatan. But according to this read, something must happen in between. So that doesn't really work well. And then third, we didn't understand why David was arguing in sentence one that Shaul wants to kill him. Apparently Shaul doesn't want to kill him. So that was a very difficult read, and we saw Rabbi Samet say, yeah, not everything fits, but not everything has to fit. That was basically his answer. So what I want to do today is see three more approaches to what's going on here, some of which you anticipated in comments from the last year. And then move into Yehonatan insisting that his father does not want to kill David, and how in the world Yehonatan can say that with a straight face. And then from there, move into what David proposes as a test of Shaul's intentions. Okay? Or a test of something. We'll see. Good? Clear? Susan, were you able to help her? We'll see. Okay, we'll see. Oh, that's all right. No, she's not here yet. That I know. Okay. So our second approach is to suggest that David needs to be at the palace for his own safety. David needs to be at the palace in order to be safe. This fits with Rashi's comments and the comments of others about what's coming next. When we talk about the Rosh Chodesh plan, where David says, I'm not going to be there on Rosh Chodesh, and let's see if Shaul gets angry or doesn't get angry, he says to Yehonatan, Vishilachtani, you send me away. He needs that cover to justify not being in the palace, because otherwise, he's a fugitive. He was serving the king, and now he ran away. And we've already noted from Malbim that that's a dangerous thing to do. And so Rabbi Samet brings this as a possibility as well. He brings it as part of his overall view, but I think it can be broken out as a separate item, even without Shaul doing tshuva. But take a look at source number one. This is where he brings it. He says, La'achar she'Shaul magia l'Nayot Barama, David eino boreach l'marchakim. He says, after Shaul comes to Nayot in Rama, David does not run far away. He goes to a field that's right near Shaul's house. How we know it was a field, we'll talk about it. We're not there yet. But he runs away to this field, samuch legovarayot, close to the lion's den, so to speak, right near the palace. Haratzional shel David hu sheberega shu yivrach me'armon hamelucha, hu yehafech lepalit hanirdaf al yedei Shaul. David's rationale for not running is because the moment he flees from the palace, he becomes a fugitive on the road, running away from Shaul, and he's not going to have a place where he can go for safety. Mikevan shekach, because of this, David od mekaveh sheyesh sikui lehinatzel mikach, v'lachein hu poneh le'Yehonatan le'Ezra. So David is trying to avoid being a fugitive, and that's why he turns to Yehonatan for help. He hopes that just like Yehonatan calmed down Shaul once before, he even helped create a situation where Shaul swore he wasn't going to hurt David. Maybe he'll be able to get a treaty now. That's the second view here. So David runs away. Hang in. David runs away from Shaul in Nayot, and he goes to Yehonatan and he says, "I can't flee, but I need somebody to help me. I need you to arrange a new treaty with your father." Again, the second approach is the approach that says that David can't run away. Because if he runs away, he's going to be a fugitive, and then nowhere will be safe. He needs Yehonatan to take care of him. That's your second approach. Third approach is that David can't leave Yehonatan. Not because he can't leave the palace, but because he can't leave Yehonatan. Remember that in chapter 18, sentence 3, they made a brit. They made a covenant with each other. At the time, we tried to understand what that brit meant, and we said that it was some kind of brit of protection, Yehonatan protecting David, or some kind of bilateral brit of protection. But Rav Yosef Goel Didi suggests what I brought you here in source number 2, which is that the brit includes that they never separate from each other. They can't separate. They have to stay together. So take a look at source number 2. And again, for anyone who doesn't have the sheet, just listen because I'm reading it out loud. Yehonatan v'David kartu b'nehen brit miyad la'achar nitzchono shel David al Goliat b'yozmato shel Yehonatan. Yehonatan and David made a deal with each other, a covenant. I shouldn't say a deal. They made a covenant with each other immediately after David beat Goliat. At Yehonatan's initiative, Tivashel Brit Zu Haita Kanir E Ihi Pardut Ha'achad Mechaveiro. He says the nature of this covenant was that they should not separate from each other. Uvekach Matzliach Yehonatan Lachzik Et Chaveiro Shaoto Hu Ohev Ahava Aza Karovelav, and that way, Yehonatan is able to keep his friend who is so beloved to him close by. David Anus, al pi habrit, beino uvein Yehonatan. David is compelled by that covenant with Yehonatan. Ve'ena yachol livroach. He can't flee. He has entered into a covenant. Hang in there, Susan. Lamrot she'Shaul omed laharogoto. Even as Shaul is trying to kill him, David is bound by his word. David chozer al Yehonatan ve'rotzeh she'Yehonatan yishachrer oto me'habrit kedei shehu yuchal lanus l'darko. So David is coming to Yehonatan, not saying, save me, but saying, let me go. I need to be able to get away from your father. We'll see how this fits the text very well shortly, but Susan, what's your question? We don't know where Yehonatan was at that point, although we're going to come back to that question shortly. We know he's not with David, but we don't know where he is. So the question is going to be, when David jumps out the window and goes and runs away, does he have a chance to go to Yehonatan to let him know? We don't know where Yehonatan is.
He doesn't know what his... Like we're saying, we don't know where he is, but his father sent off the shooting.
Yeah.
And his father went...
Yeah.
Yehonatan
is a married adult with responsibilities in the army.
But he doesn't live in the palace?
Correct. Correct. We're going to come back to that. I told you we're going to come back to that, and we will. But yes, that's correct. Janine.
It sounds kind of like a one-sided grief again. Like earlier we said, he loved David, and again...
Yes.
But he succeeded in keeping David with him. It was all for Yehonatan's.
You could make the argument that it's bilateral. I don't think you have to, but you could make the argument that it's bilateral. Because that was his yozma. That was his initiative. Again, you could read it either way. I think that you can read it that way. I just don't think you're forced to. Again, this is the way he's presenting it. I don't think you have to read it that way. But take a look at the text. Take a look at the text, and I think you'll see more about this. Take a look at chapter 2, sentence 8, and you'll see some of what drives this idea. Ravidi doesn't make this point, but I think this supports him well. David is going to say to Yehonatan, "Ve'asita chesed al avdecha." Do kindness with your servant, meaning me. Ki bivrit Hashem heveta et avdecha imach. Because you brought your servant into a brit of God with you. So that seems to be what is endangering me. The brit is what is causing me danger. And then he goes on to say something else, which we'll get to. But now, jump to sentence 13. Where Yehonatan says to David, if it turns out that my father really is dangerous, if it turns out that my father is really trying to harm you, if my father wants to harm you, then you know what I'm going to do? V'galiti et oznecha, I will tell you. V'shilachticha v'halachta l'shalom, and I will send you away in safety. So it's very, very clear, at least to me, that Rav Didi is onto something here. When he says that the number one, the danger is because of the Brit, and number two, what David is really asking him to do is to send him away. That's the idea. If you love someone, set them free. That's the expectation that David puts out there for Yehonatan, and that's why David needs to convince Yehonatan of his father's intentions in order to be released from the Brit. That's the idea. So David flees from Nayot in Ramah to get away from Shaul, and he runs to Yehonatan and expresses his fear of what's going to happen to him if he is forced to stay at the palace. That would be the way to read it. And then the last approach. Okay? I told you we have four legitimate approaches. The first approach is that David's not running away from anything. At the start, he actually thinks he's safe. He comes back to the palace. And then after a while, turns out, hey, this is a dangerous place to be. The second approach, David needs to be at the palace for his own safety, but he doesn't want to be. He doesn't feel very safe. Third approach is David can't leave Yehonatan, and that's why he's around. And then the last approach, which honestly is my favorite approach, and I think some of you suggested it already last time, and that is the simple read of the chapter, which is David is not at the palace. David's not at the palace at all. He comes to Yehonatan, wherever Yehonatan is hanging out, in order to talk to him. But David never went back to the palace at all. Take a look at source number 3, please. Professor Yehuda Kiel in the Dot Mikra. Vayavo, the text says in sentence 1. He fled from Nayot in Ramah, and he came leveito shel Yehonatan. He came to Yehonatan's house. Ola makom sheshaha sham Yehonatan bo tasha'a, or wherever it was that Yehonatan was at that point. We don't know where he was, as I tried to explain before. Umistaber shabayelav becheshchat halayla, and presumably he came to him middle of the night. Hu halayla sheshaul hitnabei bo, the same night when Shaul is in Nayot in Ramah. In other words, David runs away from Nayot and goes straight to the house of Yehonatan to say to him, your father wants to kill me. And yes, this is against Radak, who says that Yehonatan had brought him back into palace life. But it fits everything much better. Sentence 1 in the chapter is no longer split. David fled and went straight to Yehonatan to report his fears. He is not patiently waiting. And Rosh Chodesh will be whenever it is that it's going to be. And if you'll ask me the question that Rabbi Samet asked before, various writers asked the question of, why is David expected at the palace for Rosh Chodesh? The answer is because not everybody knows about the Shaul David mess. Because remember that when we learned chapter 19, we saw the read of the Malbim, that Shaul is not saying openly, once he takes the oath, he's not saying openly, I want to kill David. He sends his men to surround the house in order to make David look like a rebel, like a fugitive, in order to have charges against David. But he doesn't tell anybody that he wants David killed, and he certainly isn't telling Yehonatan at this stage. To me, this is the simplest way to read the story. It accounts for the various problems. There's no need to pretend that one of these stories wasn't in the text originally or some such, you know, theory. I think it reads straight. I think that's the simplest way to approach it. Eti.
I also think that David
lost you.
Even though he's running away, can you not hear me?
Now I hear you.
I said that David is expected at the Shaul's table because he's part of the entourage.
And yeah.
He's the one that plays for him, so he works there, so he's expected there.
Right. I mean, it's true that if people knew that David was under threat, that Shaul's trying to kill him, no one would be shocked that he isn't at the table. But they don't know. They don't know. He hasn't made that clear. So to me, that's the narrative. That's what's going on here. I think it's straight. I think it works. And I see no reason for fancy alternative reads of the text. So let's see the story now from Yehonatan's side, right? This opening section of the chapter, sentences 1 to 4, in which Yehonatan says, I don't know what you're talking about. My father loves you. Nothing wrong here at all. They go back to sentence 1. David fled from Nayot in Ramah. He said to Yehonatan, what have I done? Me'asiti, ma'avoni, mechatati. What is my guilt? What have I done wrong? The Malbim suggests that the reason for the duplicate language is the former, ma'avoni, is what have I done wrong myself in my conduct? And ma'chatati, what have I sinned against your father's throne? In what way am I a bad person personally? Or in terms of my relationship with your father, mechatasi lifnei avicha, in front of your father, kimevakesh et nafshi, such that he should be after me wanting to kill me. And Yehonatan says to him, vayomer lo, chalila lo samus. He says, God forbid, you're not going to die. Hine, he says, lo yaseh avi davar gadol, o davar katan velo yigla es ozni. He says, if my father's going to do anything, great or small, he's going to let me know first. Umadua yastir avi mimeni yaseh davar ezeh. Why would my father hide this from me? Ein zos. He says, that's not so. The word chalila is an interesting word. The chalila from the word chulin, to be mundane. So the Professor Kiel in the Dot Mikra says, it would be chulin, it would be mundane, it would be beneath him for my father to seek to kill you. That's not who my father is. That's the way that Professor Kiel said it. Mitzudat David says something else, which we're going to come back to in a little bit. He says, no, it would be a desecration for my father to violate his oath. He swore he wasn't going to do anything to you. Chalila, for him to break his oath. That's the way that that Metzudat David reads that. And again, I'm going to come back to that point shortly, because I think there's something to add there. So that raises a question, though, right? Like I said before, doesn't Yehonatan know what his father is trying to do? So Radak says, yes, but if you take a look at source number 5 on the sheet, in source number 4, I just gave you a catalog of the different explanations for why David would be expected at the palace. But take a look at number 5. Radak says, Hayacho shev Yehonatan shelo haya b'lev aviv lahamito, achar shenishba lo v'omar chay Hashem im yumat. Radak says, Yehonatan thinks the oath is binding. Sure, in the beginning of chapter 19 he wanted to kill you. But then he took an oath. He swore. So he's going to stick to his word. And here Professor Keel earns his wages with a comment that is very, very sharp. I completely would miss this, but he's on the ball. Take a look at number 6. He says, Ve'od Yehonatan yada mitoch ma'aseh she'era lo, she'sha'ul aviv makpid u'machmir b'inyanei shivuot. Sha'ul and Yehonatan have personal experience with oaths. And Yehonatan knows very well that his father takes oaths extremely seriously. Right? And what we're talking about, I see some heads nodding. The chapter 13, chapter 14, the war with the Plishtim, Shaul swears that no one's going to eat. Yehonatan eats by accident, knowing nothing about it. And Shaul is ready to kill him. Because, hey, an oath's an oath. So, granted, we had other reasons for him to fulfill the oath that we talked about, but on a very basic level, Shaul takes the Shavuah very seriously. So Yehonatan knows that. He barely survived. And he says, I can't believe that my father would break this oath. Ulefichach savar shelo yavor al hashvua shenishba lo binyanei David. So he says, my father is not going to violate the oath. No way, shape, or form. So that's also Mitzudat David on Chalila. It would be a desecration for him to break an oath, and my father is not breaking any oaths. So one approach, hang in there, Susan, just one second. One approach to why Yehonatan thinks his father isn't pursuing David is because he says nothing could cause him to break his oath. There's no way that would be. The only problem I have with this explanation is Ikar Chaser Min HaSefer, right? It's missing from the text. In other words, if that were Yonatan's reason for believing it, he should have said, my father took an oath. Right? He should have said, my father swore there's no way he would do it. He didn't say that. He said, my father would tell me if he were planning to do it. So that's my weakness in it. And why I turn to Rabbi Samet and Susan, I'll ask your indulgence because this goes back to a question you asked before. So Rabbi Samet in source number 7 offers a different approach. Hebrew is on one side, English is at the top of the next side. Nir ala tareit she'onatan lo shaha ba'armon la'orach kol ha'prakim ha'acharonim. He says the answer is that Yehonatan has not been hanging out in the palace for these last chapters. And that's why he doesn't know about this whole chain of events. Niraki Yehonatan histovev bashetach im yechidot hatzava. Yehonatan is a soldier. He's been out with the military units. We met him as a soldier way, way back. David. And since Shaul knew, we saw that Yonatan loved David, who hechlit lola arevet Yonatan b'chidush hamirdaf achar David b'chdei lola atzivoto. He doesn't involve Yonatan this time round. Once Yonatan said to him, "Don't kill him. He loves you," so he said, "Oh boy, all right, I'm going to come after him. I'm not telling Yonatan anything." So Yonatan wasn't physically present. His father was not communicating it to him, and that's why Yehonatan is unaware. Yes, Susan.
Sort of what this last one, because I was thinking that not the oath that we know
That's what it looked like, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like. We said that. It was there. So if he takes Oath seriously, he knows already that Yonatan has loyalty to David. That was a very important oath, we said.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he wouldn't trust him because of the oath, because Shaul respects the oath.
Right.
That's my thinking. Sort of different than...
So it's a new twist on oaths.
Yes.
Effectively. I like it. It's an interesting idea. I mean, I'm still going to come back to the question of why the text doesn't say so. But I definitely hear your point.
In a way it does, because it told us that they had the oath. It was very explicit.
No, but I mean that the text here, Yehonatan should have said to David, Chalila to my father, because I took an oath. He wouldn't make me violate it. Okay, maybe.
Between them.
Maybe.
Because we're saying this oath is so powerful that they feel they have to be together.
Right.
So it's like not a secret between Shaul.
Right, no, it's definitely not a secret. I agree with you on that. So Yehonatan is in some form of denial, whether because of the oath, whether because he wasn't around and his father wasn't telling him. And as far as the attempts to bring David from the house of Michal and to capture David in Nayot, so Radak says, that was Ruach Ra'ah. That's Ruach Ra'ah. That's the influence of this state that Shaul is in. And Radak writes further, I didn't bring it on the sheet, but Radak writes further that it makes sense for Yehonatan to say, you can deal with him when he's in Ruach Ra'ah. When he's in a Ruach Ra'ah state, he's not so sharp. You can manage to evade him, and you'll be just fine, which I know is a great consolation. Malbim, though, goes with the approach he's had all along, which is, again, that Shaul is hiding his attempt to kill David. He brings it in number 8. He says, Yonatan chashav, shemasha shalach leshomro, lo haya kedei lahamito. Yonatan thought that when Shaul sent to get to watch the house, it wasn't to kill him. Just to bring him so that he isn't able to run away. And presumably the same thing in sending people to get David from Nayot in Ramah. So David, on the other hand, is having none of it. He says, come on. Sentence 3. Vayishava od David. The oaths are just flowing here. David swears. Vayomer yadoa yada avicha kimatzasi chen be'einecha. He says, your father knows that we are close. Vayomer, and your father said, al yeda zos Yehonatan penye atzev. I don't want Yonatan to know I want to kill him. It's going to upset him. V'ulam, but chai Hashem v'chein avshecha, he swears, by the life of God and by your life. Ki chefesa beini uvein hamaves. There is like a pesa between me and death. What is a pesa? What do you have in your translations?
I have step.
A step, good, like a psia. Yeah, that's the way many commentators translate it. Radak does that. He says, I'm within a step of death, which is literally or figuratively. It could be literal, in the sense that he tried to stab David, right? And he's saying, like, I just turned away and escaped, but, you know, this could have been a disaster. If you take a look at Mitzudat David in source number 9, David makes the point that it's all well and good for you to say it's all Ruach Ra'ah and you can escape and all of that. He says, Lulena tisi mipanav ve'eish she'itila chanis. If I had not turned away when he threw the spear, he would have killed me. Uko omer, as if to say, yihyeh ech sheyihyeh, however it turns out, im bidas, im miblidas, whether he knows what he's doing or not. Mikoma komanita mid besakana. However you slice it, my life is in danger. So David says, the Ruach Ra or not, he's after me, he wants to kill me. To which Yehonatan says, okay, what do you want? He says to David. You know, Ricky, I've got you on 2 different screens here, and I'm getting sound from one of them. I'm not sure if you can do anything with that. Sorry. So take a look at Pasuk Dalet, sentence 4. Vayomer Yonasan el David. I'm seeing you twice and getting sound from one of the screens. I'm gonna mute one of them. There we go. Okay. Vayomer Yonasan el David, ma tomar nafshecha ve'eselach. So Yonatan says to David, you tell me, ma tomar nafshecha ve'eselach. So here the commentators do different things. Mitzudat David says that nefesh here means the spirit, the soul, and chokhmah, wisdom, is in the insightful nefesh. I would say more simply, nefesh often means desire. Like im yesh et nafshechem, Avraham says to the people of Chet, if you wish to bury Sarah, im yesh et nafshechem likbor et meti. So you could take nefesh in different ways, but the bottom line is, he says, whatever you want, tell me, and I'll do it. And as Abarbanel writes on the sheet in source number 10, V'yahanatan chashash b'davar, ulai ha'emet k'divrei David. He's taking David seriously. He thinks that David may indeed be correct, and he wants to know, so what should I do? So right now, Yehonatan is truly unaware. Yonatan is sincere. He believes that Shaul does not want to attack David, but David is telling him this, and he's listening and trying to figure out what to do about it. Yes, Janine.
Can I go back just a couple of seconds? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, the word Chalila. No, but what's consistent in the word Chalila, and certainly in the approach of the Mefarshim to it, is that the root is understood to be Chol or Chulin. That there is something that would be reduced from its sanctity. And then you say Chalila about that. So that, for example, if I remember correctly, when Avram says it to God about Sodom, I think Rashi there says, Chulin Hulach. It would be Chulin for you if you were to harm the righteous with the wicked. It would, because that isn't what a holy God does.
And is Chulin always connected with the Shvuah?
No, it's not necessarily connected with the Shvuah. But here we happen to have one. So, you know, it explains that. Right, but I think the oath is already here, whatever he does. And Radak made the point. The oath is already here because, again, this is Radak's contention, not Professor Keel, that the reason why Yonatan is confident that Shaul isn't trying to harm David is because he swore an oath. All Professor Keel is adding is, and he takes his oaths seriously. But the idea that it's the oath that will be holding him back was actually Radak. That's where it comes in. And it's, again, it's less about the word Chalila and more about the idea that that this is how Yonatan is so certain. Also worth noting, Yonatan is going to say Chalila again shortly. So this is a word for him. Okay. So let's see what happens. Vayomer David el Yehonatan. David says to Yehonatan, Hine Chodesh Machar. It's gonna be Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. V'anochi Yashov Eishev M'Hamelech Le'echol. Now, I'm gonna translate this the way that most translators do. I'll be curious later to hear if yours are different. But it's generally understood as, and I would be sitting with the king to eat on Rosh Chodesh. That's what the norm is. V'shilachtani. You send me away, like we've said, V'nistartiva sadeh ad ha'erev ha'shalishis. And I will hide in the field until the third evening. Parenthetical note. The statement here of it's going to be Chodesh tomorrow indicates some knowledge of when Rosh Chodesh is. So I've seen commentators discuss this in light of the fact that we're going to find out there's a Chodesh Hasheni, that it's not clear, is this the 29th day of the month when they're having this conversation? Is it the 28th day? Is it the 30th day? But I don't want to get into it because it's going to distract from Shmuel. I'm just pointing out, how do you know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be? At this point, they're doing it based on witnesses. So... And that could be. But then he should not be saying it's Chodesh Machar, because he doesn't know if it's going to be Chodesh Machar. There's a lot to be said. Rav Sadia Gaon famously said that even back in the earliest times, they were doing it based on calculations, and the witnesses were only a confirmation. But they did it based on calculations, said Rav Sadia Gaon. It was the whole calendar fight in the year 922. Okay. So he says, I'm going to be expected at the king's table. You're going to send me away, which, again, may be because that's the only way he can get anywhere. And I'm going to hide out in the field till the third night. Impakod yifgedeni avicha. And if your father notices I'm not there, v'amarta nish'ol nish'al mimeni David larutz beis lechem iro. So you say, yeah, David got called away to go run off to Beit Lechem, where his family is. Ki zevach hayamim sham l'chol ha'mishpacha, because there's a big family karban. Zevach hayamim is happening then. We're going to come back to that and explain that in a little bit more detail. But he says, im ko yomar tov, if your father says, good, shalom le'abdecha, all is well. Vim choro yecherelo, but if he gets upset, da ki chalsa hara'a me'imo, then you have to know that there's problems. Okay. So let me just pause there. I'm going to be expected with the king for a Rosh Chodesh meal tomorrow. You send me away and I'm going to hide until the third evening. So why is David expected there on Rosh Chodesh? Rashi says, similar in Radak, because everybody shows up for Rosh Chodesh meals. It was a thing. Keep in mind, we don't usually treat Rosh Chodesh as a Yom Tov. In like major ways. There is a practice of having a special meal on Rosh Chodesh, number one. Number two, of course, this is a women's shiur, so you are probably aware that Rosh Chodesh is a special day also for women. But in the times of Tanakh, because Rosh Chodesh has a special korban, Rosh Chodesh was treated as a bona fide Yom Tov. We have a pasuk in Yeshaya, Samach Vav, that talks about everybody coming on Rosh Chodesh. Right at the end of Yeshaya, it's a big deal. I see you, Ricky. So one approach is that yeah, Rosh Chodesh was a day for everybody. Abarbanel adds another idea, which is that David always ate there. He ate there every day, but on Rosh Chodesh he would be supposed to sit not just anywhere but next to the king, sitting with the melech is the idea. Yes, Ricky. I can't hear you. Ricky? Can't hear you. Although only one of your screens is muted, so I don't know why.
Try muting the other one.
Maybe the wrong one is muted.
Now they're both muted.
Okay.
Yes, now we hear you in stereo. Yes. Yeah, but I'm going to mute you because I'm getting feedback.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. If the dinner is tomorrow.
Ricky, I need you to turn off one of your logins.
Okay, we'll try because it's important.
Okay, hang on. No, hang on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. I know what to do. Okay, now where are you? There you are. Now talk. Oh, but now you're... Now I can't... Today is just not working. Okay. Sorry, someone else was going to make a comment. Hello? I don't know. Okay. So, let me ask you a question. Your translations that you have of the text. When the text says, Anochi Yoshev Eishev, right? Back in sentence 5. Vanochi Yoshev Yashov Eishev Im Hamelech. How do you read that?
I am accustomed to sit with the king.
I am accustomed to sit with the king. So the it's accustomed to sit meaning on Rosh Chodesh.
I am to worship.
That's what it sounds like.
Right. So the Abarbanel floats a read which Malbim has as well. The standard read is the is what we said before and what everybody here I think seems to be intuiting. However, Abarbanel floats a different read, which is, I am going to sit with the king today. Vanochi yashov eishevim hamelech le'echol today. Vishilachtani, and then send me away. Vinistarti basadeh, and I will hide in the field.
Okay.
That's the way he reads it. Hey, Ricky. Welcome back.
Thank you for putting me back on. Okay, well, that was my question, really, about the today and 3 days.
Yeah.
First of all, it means really immediate presence. He is God's presence.
Can mean, yes.
Other thing is, why the 3 days?
So the answer seems to be, because as we're going to see, they're actually going to have some uncertainty related to Rosh Chodesh. You'll see in the psukim as it plays out. So just wait with the question. We're not going to solve it today. We're going to solve it next time. But just hang in there on the question of why the 3 days are needed. I know, but that's what we're talking about as pshat. You haven't seen enough psukim to know pshat yet. This is the problem. People think they know pshat from seeing one pasuk. You have to see Tanakh in order to know pshat. So hang in there.
But even if you read it as it's written, it says, I will run away for 3 days. Shaul gets angry. Why would he wait for 3 days for Shaul to get angry?
Again, you're going to see. We're not there yet.
Okay.
So he says, I want you to send me away. And that way, I'm not, again, a rebel against the throne. Take a look at source number 11. Malbim says, Vanochi yashov eishev, rotze lomar, ritzoni leishev imo gam ata. I want to sit with him now as well. Because if I don't, I will be like somebody who's rebelling against the throne. I went without permission. And therefore he says, send me, give me permission to go. I'm not going to go without permission. I'm going to go, you having sent me. So that fits with the idea that he couldn't leave. It wasn't safe for him to leave without being sent away. Got it? Susan.
So we're talking here about hierarchy. And Shaul, Yonatan, and where does David fit on the hierarchy?
Below Yonatan, for sure. Yonatan is the prince.
Right. But he was given all the head of the army, the command, all this.
Not of the entire army. He was given a role in the army. He's a Sar Ha'elef. He's an officer over a group, but he's not in charge of the entire. No, that he did not have. So he says to him, your father notices my absence. Tell him that I had to go to my family. And nish'ol nish'al in particular was the language in sentence 6 that it was requested. In other words, permission was granted. I didn't just go, but you were asked and you told me I could go to Zevach Hayamim. Zevach Hayamim is something you may remember from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. I see Chana is smiling. From Elkanah and Chana, right? Their family had the Zevach for Hashem. They had the periodic offering to God. We had a discussion whether that was on the Regel or not on the Regel. So it's an annual family korban. Ralbag even suggests maybe there was some miracle that had happened at some point in the family and that's what they were commemorating. Either way, give that very rational explanation to Shaul and see if he's good with it. If he's angry, I am in trouble. Why would Shaul get angry? Right. So Susan says what Rashi says. Because he wants to kill me, and now I'm not there. You know, killers get frustrated. That's one possibility. Janine, you were going to say? So Abarbanel, likewise, like what Janine says, or not quite like, actually, but he says it'll be a pretext. He wants to call David a rebel, so he'll use this as a pretext. See that? He ran away. But here Rabbi Samet says something that I think is also true. It's less about the excuse and the absence, and more about Yehonatan's role in the two. Take a look at source number 12, please. He says, Im Shaul Yish'al at Yehonatan, Heichan David. If Shaul is going to ask, hey, where's David? Al Yehonatan l'shaker, v'lanot she'David halach lach gogim mishpachto. David is saying to Yehonatan, I want you to lie. Right? Say that I went to celebrate with my family. Shaul, hayotzei minikudat hanachash Yehonatan lo yodea al hidardrut hayachasim beino levein David. Shaul is coming from the viewpoint that Yehonatan does not know about the deterioration in the relationship between Shaul and David. As far as Shaul is concerned, Yehonatan is in the dark because Shaul hasn't been telling him anything. Yitzapesh Yehonatan ya'anesh ein lamusag. So therefore, Shaul expects that when he asks, where's David? Yehonatan's going to say, I don't know. I have no idea. Because he doesn't know anything is going on. Ulam, however, kasher Yehonatan yaftia oto, v'yanet shuvazu, when Yehonatan surprises him with this answer, shekechol hanira'ita shikrit, ba'ofen muvhak, which is clearly a lie, meaning Shaul knows why David isn't there. David isn't there because he'd rather not get killed. So he knows now that Yehonatan is in on what's going on. Shaul yavin miyad shegam Yehonatan kemo michal, tomech b'David, v'kaviyachol kosher kesher nigdo. Shaul is going to say, ah, Yehonatan has turned on me. Now, granted, we didn't believe that Michal really turned on Shaul. That's a side point. But he's saying, Yehonatan will now be seen as part of the enemy, conspiring. Im Shaul yanesh zebeseide v'b'chinato. If Shaul says, we're all good, yeah, that's nice. He went to his family. Harei shesara mimenu ha'rach ha'ra'a lefachol eit atad. And that means rach ra'a is not controlling him. If he's good with it, he's not trying to kill David, then we're fine. However, if he wants to kill me, boy, is he going to get angry. Because that will demonstrate to him that I am, that you are working with me. You, Yehonatan, are working with me, David. So it's not just him being annoyed by the absence. It's him being annoyed by the answer. You follow? Yes, Susan. Right.
So why could Shaul just assume that Yehonatan believed David because they're friends? David wouldn't lie.
Oh, so in other words, maybe he would think that David, in fact, didn't tell Yehonatan what was going on.
Right.
He told him that there was a family sacrifice or whatever it is. Yeah. You're right. It's a weakness in Rabbi Samet. You could make that argument.
Why
I think so.
Why would he know that it's a blatant lie? Like, why couldn't it be true?
Maybe this is so. I guess only because it isn't true. Meaning, if that were true, none of this story takes place. If there really is a family festival for David, then he's not having this conversation with Yehonatan. Right? The question is, would Shaul, as the king, be aware of what Yishai's family is doing? I don't know. I don't feel bound to defend Rabbi Samet's position on this. I just think it's a very interesting idea that it's not just the absence of David, but it's also the answer from Yehonatan that would disturb him. I think it's interesting. Malbim notes, to take it in a little bit of a different direction, that there are other possibilities for what comes out of this conversation. Meaning, Shaul might not ask after David at all. Right? But those will leave things vague. So David is saying to Yehonatan, if this happens, we know X. If this happens, we know Y. And we're omitting all the other possibilities that will leave things indeterminate. That would be the way to, that would be the way to read it. So what we're going to do is we're going to pause here with the very dramatic sentence 8, in which David says to Yehonatan, I'd rather that you kill me than hand me over to your father. That is a loaded, loaded sentence. Where in the world did that come from? Now, because next week is Shavuot, I am not going to have a chance to prepare a shiur for Thursday, because Sunday, Monday, Tuesday will be busy. So we will not have a shiur on Shavuot, on Thursday, I should say, of next week. But God willing, in 2 weeks, we will resume with David apparently accusing Yehonatan of wanting to kill him. So we're going to have to talk about that one for sure. Okay? I'm sorry for all the technical challenges today. I don't know what's up today, but we had so much trouble. But thank you. Ora, how are you guys doing in Israel?
Yeah,